Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Zoë Modiga is a South African singer and songwriter. She draws from the human experience, identity, and storytelling, and she creates a distinct sound to communicate a modern, evolving African story without losing its essence. As a lively, transcendent performer with a background in classical and jazz training, she is known to enchant audiences into another world while having an evocative individualism in fashion and imagery. Zoë is an independent artist releasing her debut album, Yellow the Novel, and her sophomore album, Inkanekwane, under her label, Yellow Wax. She has been awarded the Glamour Woman of the Year Musician Game Changer Award in 2023, Standard Bank Young Artist Award Music 2023, South African Music Award for Best Engineered Album 2020, Dopest Album Cover of 2020 by African Design League, Mzansi Jazz Awards for Best Jazz Contemporary Album Newcomer in Jazz and Best Jazz Song in 2018, SAMRO Overseas Scholarship Competition in 2015. She is also celebrated with nominations such as Best Jazz Album and Best African Artist for the South African Music Awards in 2018, Female Artist of the Year by the VN Streaming 2020, Best African Jazz Artist at the All Africa Music Awards 2021. She has graced the covers of Songlines UK, Sowetan Magazine Fab 30 issue, Botaki Youth Magazine Women's Edition, and she also made an appearance on the Netflix series Savage Beauty. Zoë has performed at celebrated festivals in South Africa such as the Cape Town International Jazz Festival, Standard Bank Joy of Jazz, Durban Jazz Festival, Opikopi, Rocking the Daisies, and many more. She has also performed internationally at festivals in the Netherlands, Swaziland, Tanzania, and she frequents world tours with a music collective she collaborates with called Seba Kapstadt. Zoë has collaborated with some of the world's finest musicians, including Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Johnny Clegg, Abigail Kubeka, Winston Marsalis, Trompies, Tsepo Tsolo, and many more. An authentic, compelling artist challenging the status quo, Zoë Modiga is steadily creating an immortal legacy of cultural impact through music, fashion, and storytelling. Joining me on this episode of Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast, Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Zoë Modiga.
Celeb Savant, I'm Barrett Edelstein. We're at Solid Gold Podcast, and I'm with Zoë Modiga. Zoë?
Hey. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling great.
So for the listeners and the audience, Zoë and I met at the recent launch of her latest album, Nomthandazo.
Yes.
Is that correct pronunciation?
Yes, 100%.
And that was a brilliant evening. I love the music. As I said to you after the listening, it's very energetic and spiritual healing type of music. But we'll get into that in a moment. So Zoë, at what age did you decide, cool, you want to be in the music or creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I find with the musical journey for me that I always say I was brainwashed into it.
Okay.
Because it was just always there, you know. I was born in Durban, Overport, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, raised in Pietermaritzburg, which is like maybe 45 minutes away from where I was born, in a township called Imbali, Ewan. And in that township, very, very typical of any township, we eat together, we dance together, we cry together, we listen to music together. So when someone is spring cleaning and playing their music out loud, we are taking that in, you know. And I found that I experienced a lot of really sophisticated taste and a wide range of taste of music when it comes to what I was taking in early on. So in seeing that and seeing that music is the soundtrack to people's lives, I was like, ooh, I really want people to feel the way that I see them feel when I observe where it is that I'm from, you know. So that was kind of my beginning when it comes to my journey with music. But then I went to junior choir.
Okay.
One day after assembly, one of the teachers was like, hey, we are staying behind. You guys are going to sing Happy Birthday and we're going to see what you are working with. So that's where we sang Happy Birthday and I was a part of the junior choir. And that was the beginning of maybe being very cognizant of the fact that there was a gift, that there was something to share. And yeah, from that to now, it's been a crazy, wonderful, weird, emotional roller coaster ride.
Okay, so you were in the choir at school. So once school finished, and obviously you got out of that space, was it straight away to know, okay, this is my passion, this is what I'm going to move forward into? Were there diversions in the journey? And what were they before you got into the journey of being in the music?
I think music was always there in different ways, and the art expression was there in different ways, you know. So if it was in choir, it was a penny whistle group. If it wasn't that, it was doing Eid Stedfords, which is like your competitions, where different scholars, young scholars, go and compete and get marked off of what they've prepared in terms of their pieces. Sometimes it was poetry, sometimes it was dance, sometimes it was choirs and solo work, clarinet, piano, but it was always just there, okay, you know. And it was there in different kinds of ways, was able to do a lot of competitions, which exposed me to a lot of opportunities to perform, which is all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much been the journey. It's always been that. I think the one time I wanted to be something else was a dentist in grade 2. And that's only because the guy gave us like a lucky packet. So I was like, ooh, I like this. I like how this feels. I want people to feel like this.
Okay, so from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating your music, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Is it solo creations or collaborative? Let's dive into your creative world and creative brain.
Whew, wow. It is, I think it is an unknown world to me as well, to be very honest with you. But for me, what lights my fire is being able to reflect the times, is being able to reflect the human experience from my perspective, at least. Cause I mean, there's all 7 billion of us,
yes.
But this is just my perspective of how I experience the world. And being able to tell our stories through language, culture, celebration, seeing our traditions, the way that we think, our fashion, grabbing from different sonic experiences to create something that is entirely its own, you know. And I have a lot of fun doing that and not coming from a place of knowing. I've been a scholar for a long time in different ways, doing classical studies, jazz studies, but I'm left feeling like I know less every time.
Yes.
Especially going into a new album, I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on, but we're gonna have fun with this. So yeah, that's what the creative expression is for me. Really just reflecting the experiences of myself, the world around me, the things I observe, the things I question, the things I celebrate, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so as mentioned, I was at the listening party for the new album, and I very much felt that the music is sort of energetic healing, or the frequency of healing and awakening and so forth. So going into creation, is that a goal or intention that you have, or is that something just happens as you're doing it?
Oh, I really believe in intention, and I believe that the intention of what it is that I put out and express is the thing that becomes the DNA of the music. Otherwise, for me, it's just beautiful words, beautiful gowns, just beautiful words, beautiful lyrics, beautiful things. But I think intention is the thing that really sets it apart, you know. So with this album being called Nomthandazo, which means Mother of Prayer, it is an album that is really coming from that space of healing, of prayer, of our inner worlds, of wanting to water that space. And I remember being in studio. Each session that I did, especially when I was doing like the vocal takes and the vocal layerings, I was barefoot. I asked for the studio to be dim. I lit a candle and the intention was healing. That's what it was for me. And yeah, I think it makes all the difference. I really do.
Okay, so I love me a CD. I love the aesthetic of holding something. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking the booklet, listening from song one to whatever number, which I know is a journey for you guys in putting that together. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, cassettes, even cassettes and vinyls are making a massive comeback all around the world. In fact, last year, the UK alone, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. We also, though, have these streaming platforms that people listen or consume music on. What is your observation and perceptions of the landscape at the moment?
So I respect the fact that we are living in a digital time. We're in a digital world and we are observing and taking in art in that way. I definitely subscribe to something that is more traditional, something that you can feel, touch, taste and experience and take in that kind of way. And I guess maybe the idea for me is marrying both of those worlds and making sense of it that way. I'm very glad cassettes are coming back, though. I'm glad the vinyls are coming back. I'm glad the CDs are coming back. When I was young, I would take those booklets out of like your albums. And I remember there's this Best of Paul McCartney, right? Mm. A song called "Band on the Run."
Yes, yes, yes.
And I would literally listen to the song for hours while going through the lyrics and everything. Like that was my era. That was my time, you know. So I love that is coming back.
I was living overseas, and I came back, and I wanted to get a CD player for my collection. Just got this collection. And everyone was like, but you can't get CDs any players anymore anywhere. There's no way. I went on to Take Lot for the overseas listeners. It's a platform in South Africa where you can order stuff. So I went onto the platform thing, hoping that there'll be like one or two options. There were hundreds of options of players. Man. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down again. Eventually I got what I got. And it's amazing because I've got my playlists on Spotify because I teach spinning classes. So I have that for that.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I put the exact same song off the platform, listen to it off the Bluetooth, listen to it on the CD. The quality of sound that's on the CD compared to the streaming platform, it's like I'm in a stadium.
Oh, wow.
The difference is because you can really feel that obviously the songs have to be compacted to put on those platforms.
Exactly. For Apple,
because else they won't fit. So you can actually hear the difference in quality of the sound.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
I think for me, what may have made me unaware of that is that I was listening to CDs for a long time and then we went into the streaming space and then I went into that and didn't kind of go back and listen to physical albums. But I'm actually going to do that. I'm going to do that today because I do have a car that plays CDs. So
lovely.
I'm actually going to do that and check
that out. You'll feel the difference. Mm. Absolutely. What do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh, my goodness. Performing live to me is like transformative. It is out of this world. It feels like a portal to, I don't know, some just ethereal, spirited. It is just a thing of its own. It's like its own planet for me.
Okay.
I love performance. I think it's where I get to really celebrate the music with the music lovers, where I get to create memories with them, where we have these genuine moments of just purging, healing, twerking, laughing, singing along to the music. Yeah. And it's the closest thing to heaven, honestly, to me, in my mind.
Okay.
I don't know if I've been to heaven, but I would imagine it's a lot like performance.
Okay, so I've got a point of debate and discussion around this, and I have it with a lot of artists.
Okay.
I'm that person that's right in front, dancing, jamming, not really twerking.
Oh, come on.
I'll take my phone out for a couple of videos, couple of shots, and then I put it away because I like to be in the moment. I notice a lot of people around me have their phones out for a lot of the time, 60, 70, 80% of the time, tweeting, posting, whatever they're doing at that time. From the person on the stage, perceptually seeing a bunch of phones compared to eyes or that, do you feel it takes away from that energy and that interaction? Or it's just, as we mentioned earlier, digital world where society is at the moment?
You know, it's actually such an awkward thing. Because on the one hand, I mean, when there's a camera in your face, you're cognizant of that. When there's a whole bunch, a sea of phones, which is what it sometimes looks like, you're cognizant of that. You see it. And because of what it is that I do and being a performer, I find that I feel the need to play to that.
Okay.
And I know that it's going to be posted on social media. I know that social media is a currency for my work.
Yeah.
So I understand the importance of that. But at the same time, I just wish we could go back to a time where we just lived in the moment and we just enjoyed the shows for what it is that they were. And we weren't so concerned about documenting it. And we just lived in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, when I watch like these old live performances of like, you know, your Michael Jacksons and all of that, you literally see stadiums of people. Even Brenda Fassie was doing like a stadium show with a lot of other incredible acts from here at home. And like there was no phones. It was just people getting lost in the world of music and having themselves a beautiful time, allowing themselves to be taken away by it. And I just wish we could go back to that. And I feel like similarly to you, I'm the same as like a music lover myself. I will go to the show. I will take a few clips just to say, okay, I was here, document, show some love to the person on social media. And then I tuck it away and I get lost.
Exactly.
And I feel like maybe that's the winning formula. That's the recipe. Yeah.
I was actually speaking to an artist in the UK and they went to a Garth Brooks concert.
Ooh.
And they said the phones were taken away. They were put away somewhere and they weren't allowed to use it. And they were actually saying the experience was completely different now because it wasn't the stress of like trying to get the perfect shots, perfect angles, perfect things. It was just like, okay, just relax into it.
Yeah, exactly. And I find... you know, it's such a tricky thing because I get it. I'm a part of it. I'm in the matrix. We're all doing it, you know, where we want to document in that way. But I just imagine a world of being able to be carefree, knowing you don't have to do all that, you know. And I think I would love to like lock everyone's phones away for a show and then maybe have it recorded so that I can give everyone a link to watch the thing. You know what I mean? Because I get it. You want to relive the moment. You want to... But yeah, I think, we need to lock these phones up. Let's lock them up!
What's next? What's coming up next? We know the latest album's just been released a couple of weeks ago. So what are the short-term, long-term plans? What's happening?
Oh, so we've just had an amazing album launch.
Yes.
On the 1st of June. It was absolutely... amazing. And I'm excited that we are going to be presenting a work at the National Arts Festival, which is a festival that happens in Makanda, South Africa. And it is really off of me being the Standard Bank Young Artist winner for music. So I get to present a work. And with this new album out, I'm just very excited that that gets to live in that space. That is a legacy space, you know. But there's a lot of exciting things for the year, some of which I can't talk about. But I'm excited about it, you know. I'm excited for the unknown. I'm excited for the things that will surprise me about this new year, this new offering. And we'll just let the music play on, man. I mean, what else is there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So playing music, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 20 years, 5 minutes, 50 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists, we're going to finish this conversation.
I just have to break into an operatic sound.
What would those 5 songs be and by whom? And if you can't think of specific songs, maybe just 5 artists.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know what? I will not be a party pooper. I will play this game.
Yes.
I will not be held to this. This is just right now, in this moment.
In this moment, yes.
There's this song that I heard called Him. And a beautiful soul called Yonela Mnana plays in that. I forget what the name of the collective is, but the song is called Him. It's so beautiful. I think that's my number one.
Him as in H-I-M or H-Y-M-N?
H-Y-M-N.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then there is Top five right now. I think the key is to like not overthink the thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Just let it come onto me. Yeah.
let's see. So top five. The thing that an artist that comes to mind as well is Victoria Monet.
Yes.
Moment.
Okay.
I love that song. That's two. We've got three more.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam Makeba Welela.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Ooh, King Tat, Thandiswa Mazwai. This is my number four. There's this song off of her new album. Kunzima. That's the name of the song. Yes. Kunzima. I love that song. My gosh. And the fifth one. Maybe let me shamelessly plug myself.
Of course, yes.
A song of mine called Imithandazo Yethu. Yeah. Lovely. Which is the first song from this album that that came to be, that was written and made.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my top five right now. And then Kendrick Lamar is an honorable mention.
Honorable.
Yeah.
So this album took a period of time to create from your previous album.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just going with the flow? Was it taking time out to just take a step away in order to experience life, in order for those experiences to come through in a creative way? Or what was the reason for sort of the break between the two albums?
Oh, my. Well, I have to start by saying I don't think I'm a mastermind of my creative process. I'm not like a strategist that's trying to bring things out at the right time.
Okay.
You know, I think it's just a leaning into what feels like should be happening. And maybe because of the kind of artist I am and the way that the work comes to be, it does require me to live and to experience life, to observe, to go through some things, to work through some things, to question other things, to be left with more question marks, and maybe to figure some things out as well, you know. So between 2020 was my second album, Inganekwane, and then it took a whole 4 years for this one, Nomthandazo, to come out. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I think it's a time where I need to kind of be cocooned and get into my mind, get into what it is that I'm thinking about, where it is that this music story is taking me. And then when it's time to be a butterfly, you know, I just butterfly, you know. But yeah, the creative process, it's funny, as long as I've been a friend of music, it always fascinates me. I'm always left with more questions, with more curiosity, and just a sense of unknowing. And it's very humbling, but it's beautiful. I like it.
When you're creating, are you able to listen to music by other artists, or do you step away from that in order to focus on your creation? And I've heard some other artists say, so not to be unconsciously or subconsciously influenced by the others. Or are you able to just be and know, okay, this is a period of time I'm creating, and out of that, I can just listen to others?
You know, I don't think as creative people we can remove ourselves from being influenced by the world around us, and that includes other artists. I mean, we take it in. I take in Tupac. I take in whatever's happening, whatever is in my ether at the time. And I think it's what makes the music beautiful. It's what makes it 5D. It's what, you know, gives it that experiential feeling when you're listening to it. But when I'm in studio, I like to have a tunnel vision. I like to really just zoom into it and get into the honesty of the music, because I feel like, for me, that's the thing that I want to protect. And the honesty just requires silence from me. Silence from listening to anything else. Silence from consciously consuming something else. I just need to zone out. I need to tap into the truest part of what the work is, you know. So, yeah, for me, it looks like silence. But who knows? Maybe with the next album, maybe my fourth album will require me to take it all in like a sponge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no telling.
And when you are listening to songs by other artists, are you able to relax and just take it for what it is? Or is your creative brain unpacking what they've created?
I don't like to listen to music as a musician. I think it's boring. I think it's boring. I like to listen to music as a music lover and to kind of tuck away all the things that I know to be true. Well, from my perspective, at least when it comes to music and just enjoy it the way that I did growing up.
Okay.
When I didn't know what I know now. Okay. And it was just magical. And I was just taking in the artist world for what it is that they were offering. You know, I don't like, I'm very self-critical of myself as a creative person. I do not like to be critical of other people's work. I think I understand that there's space for that. But for me, it feels entitled because this is someone's sacred, like really sensitive, vulnerable place. And now we have all these things to say, I don't get it. You know, I just know there's things that resonate with me, things that might not resonate with me. And I think that's with everyone, really. And but I mean, there'll be moments, to be very honest, where I'll geek about certain things. You know, where I'm like, ooh, this time signature, you did that. Ooh, that modulation, let's go. Or where I'll really be tickled by, like, maybe a vocal approach, vocal stacks, the kinds of synths that were used. You know, so I will geek when it comes to certain things when they pop out. But my first listen has to be
relaxed,
purely for the love of just wanting to take you in as you are, as a musician.
I love that. So Zoe, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Oh, as a final message to the whole world? That's a mammoth task. Well, folks, it is a beautiful time to be alive. It's a weird time to be alive. It's an interesting time to be alive. May we just continue to be kind and recognize the humanity in each other. As we navigate this really interesting journey that we're all walking. I know it's different to different people from different parts of the world. And hopefully we're able to take all these differences and celebrate them and love on them and have a good time with them. But I'm just, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful that music is one of the loves of my lives. And I'm just excited to rock and roll. And let's rock and roll together. Let's do it. Come on, let's crowd surf.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.